but we are continuing our message called Reaching Canaan, and I titled this message, Talk Like God. We need to talk like God. We need to think like God, and we need to talk like God. No, you don't have the right to think the way you used to before you're saved. You don't have the right to talk like you used to before you're saved. I would just like to put this out there. Yesterday was a rough day for me. I really have no reason to really tell you why. I can't point to just everything, but it just seemed like things that could go wrong were going wrong, and everything was scratching at me. Everything was irritating me just a little, and I don't get very irritated very easy for the majority. We'll ask my wife, and then the truth will come out. I don't know. There are things I think that are the way it is, and then I have to ask Jesse to see, because sometimes my perception of reality is warped versus her perception of reality. I just live in a happy place. I do. And that's the crazy thing, is that I talk to people, and there'll be a lot of doom and gloom of what's going on, and I understand what's going on, but I'm like, hey, you should probably come hang out in my world a little bit. It's a happy place. It's a happy place. I live in a happy place. Things go right for me. Things are in the right direction. I'm a happy person. People that hang around me are happy people. See, the thing is your words, I don't know if we put enough power on our words. Okay, let's just bring this up. The first records of words we have in the Bible, what were they for? I would like to ask you for your thought process to think on this. Maybe in the beginning, words were more about creation than they were communication. Maybe words in the beginning were more about creating than communicating. Our words create an environment. And look, you do not have to be the word police. You don't have to correct everybody and tell everybody what they've done wrong, and don't say that because you'll speak it into existence. You don't have to do that. But what you do need to do is police your own mouth. All right, so let me tell you about my day. I'm going to tell on myself, okay? So the morning, we get up, and I don't eat normally in the mornings, and I have a cup of coffee, and Jesse's telling me about our day, because normally I have to ask her on Saturdays, what are we doing today? And then she tells me our whole agenda with time and, this time. And she did. She had a whole slot. She said, we're going to go downtown to the Winter Festival, and we're going to park at the Edgewater. We're going to get out. They have the whole thing out there. We're going to get on the ice. We're going to have a good time. They have kites. They have all this stuff. They have s'mores on the ice. They got everything. We're going to do that. Then after that, we're going to go have lunch. After that, we're going to go to the science whatever thing. And then after that, we're going to go either before or after, we're going to go to the Statue of Liberty on the ice. Have you ever been to the Statue of Liberty on the ice? First of all, it's after the greatest movie on the face of the earth. Not really, but, it ranks up there. Planet of the Apes, where the Statue of Liberty fell, right? And so it kind of is that, where she's coming out of the water. And so they have her on the ice like that, based off the movie. And if you haven't seen it, I'm so sorry. Let's have a movie night. We'll watch every Planet of the Apes ever made. I am with you. We'll binge watch it. It is amazing. I'm telling you, I love it. I love it. And I just hope that my daughters are weird enough to like it too when they get older. I'm hoping. Because one day I just want to binge watch it with them. That would be awesome. But I don't know if they're going to be as cool as their dad. So she's like, we'll go to that before or after the science show, depending on time. I'm like, okay. And then she's like, then we have to go to Costco. I'm like, okay. And so she gives us a full day. So we go, and then time is off. For some reason, we go to the restaurant, and the restaurant has a 20-minute wait, and I'm not happy about that because I don't eat breakfast, and I'm hungry. And sometimes I get hangry. Things irritate me more when I'm hungry than when I'm not hungry. And, like smart people who carry snacks, I didn't have any. And then we did have snacks, but those are for the children because they can't be hangry. Because if they're hangry, they're going to get corrected. only daddy can be hangry and mama can, and I'm not correcting her ever on anything. And so in all of this, I'm irritated because now we have to go, and I'm not sure if we're going to have time to get to a restaurant. So we get in the car. Everybody decides to leave at the same time we're leaving, and it took us 25 plus minutes to get out of the parking garage, waiting and moving forward and waiting and moving forward and waiting and moving forward. There was one spot left in the park. Actually, there was no spot, so we had to turn around. But on our way out, a guy was walking to his car. I rolled my window down and said, "Are you getting in a car and leaving?" He goes, "Yeah." I'm like, "I'm taking your spot." He goes, "Okay." So I whip it around real quick, and I put my hazard on so nobody could take my spot, know that I'm after this dude. It's like a shark. It's like, you know, Jaws. Dun, 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 dun. I'm following him. He gets his car, backs out, and I take that spot. It was the only spot available, and it's all the way down close to the bottom. So I'm all the way down and have to go up three stories before we're ever out. So guess what was off the schedule? Lunch was off the schedule because we're too late getting out. So I'm irritated. Now we go to the science building. At the science building, Ellie wants to do something, Lucy wants to do something, and then somebody's got to go to the line to get our spot, so to make sure that we get good seats. So we already called ahead. We're in the system. And so I get in line. I'm there while they're having fun, and I'm doing the dad thing, standing in line while my kids and my wife has a good time. And so I don't get to play with none of the science stuff. All my kids get, I geek out about stuff like that, and I don't get to do any of it. I get to stay in line. And when the line opens, I go in, I get my seats, and everything is good. So I'm still hangry. My kids are making too much noise because they're, have short attention spans, and one of them can't handle it. And so I'm having to tell, shh, people are trying to watch us. Be quiet. Stop playing with that bag. Stop playing with that water. Stop making the noise. Don't move your seat. It makes too much noise. It wasn't me, Daddy. Yes, it was. Yes, it was. I can hear. I have ears. I know that was your seat. Well, I'm sorry. No, you're not. Just stop moving. Just stop. Stop. And of course, she can't. She can't. So I'm irritated. And now we're leaving. The show's over. It was a good show. But I am feeling faint and no energy. Not faint like pass out, but just like my energy level's very low. Food is energy for me. I don't know if it is for you, but do you ever eat and you just got, I could do something now. That's food. Food does that for me. And so I'm like, I just need a little bit of food. I could have some energy right now. And so we're leaving there. And Jesse says, we have to go to the statue immediately because they close at a certain time. And I'm not sure if we'll make it. I'm like, okay, we'll eat afterwards, no problem. And so we go, and this is the thing, I have to drop them off, and then I have to go get a parking spot. Why? Because I'm the dad. I'm the dad. And this is what dads do. So they get there, I have to find a parking spot, I have to walk a long distance, I get there, and then I don't know where they are, and I text her, I don't hear back from her, so I go inside to see if she's in the union. She's not in the union. She texts me finally outside on the ice. I go outside on the ice, and I'm like, where are you? Oh, I'm up the side looking for you. I'm like, you just told me where you were and you left. And so I text, okay, be right there. And so finally, I find her. I find her. We're together. We go out on the ice. I'm walking around the ice. I like walking. So I'm walking, and then I all of a sudden, Tim, where are you going? On the ice. Just walking. Well, let's go closer to the... Okay. So we go, and every little bit, I keep telling myself, it's not a big deal. Don't get irritated. You talk to yourself. I talk to myself constantly. Don't get irritated. Watch your attitude right now, because you could lash out very easily. You could just very easily say something, and then it's going to escalate everything. You know how this works. It's a snowball that just keeps getting larger and larger, and you get sharp. Someone else gets sharp. You get sharper, and then you keep matching each other, and it gets louder and louder, and then all of a sudden what was a good day is no longer a good day. So just shut your mouth, smile, and take the photos that need to be taken. So I'm like, okay, calm down. And so finally, we say, let's go to a restaurant. They lift the restaurant. So we walk to the restaurant. We get to the restaurant. I order. All my stuff comes. Most of it comes, but there's something that they left off. So I got to go tell them again now, hey, we ordered this. We need this. So they're like, oh, okay, no problem. So Jesse's down, and when Jesse gets up, in the chair is a little piece of metal, and it rips her down feather jacket, and feathers begin to out. And I look, and now, I'm sorry, I'm hot. I'm a little livid right now because it's not a cheap jacket because it's down feathers in it. And I'm here like, Father, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. I'm not sure if this should be the Jesus that flips tables over and hits people with a whip. What Jesus do I need to be right now? And so I said, I'll be right back. And she looks at me and says, Tim, no, no. I'm like, if you think I'm not going to go talk to a manager about a broken chair that ripped your jacket, you're out of your mind. And she's like, Tim, just be nice. And I'm like, I am always nice. There's nothing about me that's not nice. So I go up and I ask one of the waiters, I said, hey, one of your chairs just ripped my wife's jacket. Where's the manager? I'd like to talk to them. And I said, oh, our manager doesn't get here till such and such time. I'm like, I'll wait. And I said, well, you know, if you could get their information for me, I would appreciate it. And so they write all their information down, apologize. So as we're leaving, Jesse goes ahead and leaves immediately because she doesn't want to be around to see, you know, what happens, just in case I'm the Jesus that flips tables over. And so in all of this, she finally, you know, she's down there. And as I'm finally giving up getting the manager's information, I decide that I will call them. Just as soon as I go to the elevator, a guy walks out, and I'm like, that is the manager. I know it. And so I didn't get on the elevator and stepped over to the side, and when the waiter I talked to said, hey, there's a guy who wants to talk to you. And I'm like, that is the manager. And so I walk up, and I just kindly show, you know, tell him, and he's like, can you show me what chair? I'm like, love to. So we took him to the chair. And he's like, okay, and I showed him the part that ripped her jacket, two holes in her jacket where it happened. And so he took the chair off. He thanked me. He said, we'll be contacting you. I said, oh, thank you so much. I look forward to hearing from you. And if I don't, know that I'll call you. And he's like, oh, okay. I just wanted to know. And so we leave, and Jesse goes, he's like, it's not a big deal. Can we even fix these jackets? I'm like, I don't know. I mean, do I look like a, I didn't tell her this, but this was going through my mind. Do I look like a tailor? I know I sew everything in the house that needs to be sewed, but I have no idea how to fix this problem. And so we make it to the car, and she's like, oh, say, let's go to Costco. And we're downtown, so she's like, which one do you want to go to? Some Prairie or Middleton. And I'm like, I have no idea. I said, I think Middleton's closer to our house, so I would choose that one. But she said something, and I heard Sun Prairie. I heard Sun Prairie. I would have bet money that she said Sun Prairie. And I say out loud to my phone, directions to Costco in Sun Prairie, Wisconsin. So we start, and she goes, Why is the GPS taking you this way? Seems weird. I said, well, this is the closest way to Sun Prairie. Why are we going to Sun Prairie? Isn't that where you told me to go? No, I clearly said Middleton. I said, I clearly said out loud to the GPS, take me to Costco in Sun Prairie. Did you not hear that? No. Like, okay, let's correct that. Siri, I would like directions to Costco in Middleton. So we go to Middleton. So Middleton is packed out. I mean, packed out. By the time we get there, there are no carts, no parking spots. So Jessie doesn't want to wear her ripped jacket into Costco. Doesn't want to wear it. So she wants me to drop her off at the door. I'm like, no problem. Drop you off at the door. So all of a sudden, I see, you know, rear lights coming out of a parking spot. So, oh, I'll go get that one. So as I drop her off, I go to the parking lot. Ellie's with me. Lucy's with her. And I pull up, and there's a car waiting for that spot. But lo and behold, the car beside it, lights pop on. I'm like, oh, there's two. One for you, one for me. This is perfect. So I sit there with my blinker on. This person's waiting for theirs. The first person pulls out. They get in. The second person pulls out. And a guy 65 plus, guarantee you, decides that that is his spot that he has not been waiting for. Not that he's been waiting for, but that I've been waiting for. And as I move forward, he guns it. Gets in front of me and gives me a sign. And I'm here like, Jesus. My daughter's in the car, Lord. my daughter's in the car. I would have a conversation with this old man. I prefer my elders, but Jesus, you know that's wrong. What he did was wrong. And his wife is having a loud conversation with him, and I'm thankful. I'm hoping she was fighting my case. I don't know. Maybe she was high-fiving and saying, stick it to the man. I don't know. I don't know what she was saying. But she seemed to be very loud and very elaborate with her hand motions and talking to him. And they got out, and I just looked at him and smiled. And I just wanted to be like, if my daughter's in the car. And so he goes in, and I'm here like, Ellie, we're just going to have to find a parking spot. Give me a second, babe. And thankfully, I saw somebody else walk out, get in a car, probably about 2-3 minutes later, and I pull up and I take their spot. But it was an irritating day. So we order stuff, and I'm trying to get the digital, card on your phone. And so I have to go to the whatever customer service. Go to the customer service. Oh, they guarantee me it'll work in about 5 minutes. We'll have it ready. Well, 15 minutes later, it's not working. 20 minutes later, it's not working. So I'm already irritated. I'm like, why is this not working? And so it's still not working, if you're wondering. And so we get everything that we need, and then we leave. And the girls are hungry because I've eaten tater tots, and everybody else has eaten nothing, whatever. Tater tots are delicious, by the way. And if you haven't had some, just get some. They're great. And so anyway, I see like, well, go get them food. I will put stuff in the car. All I've had is tater tots and coffee. And I go and I'm putting everything in the car, and the cart is trying to roll away. So what I do is stick my leg out to stop it as I'm putting things out. There's a busted piece of plastic on the side to keep it from marking the walls. It grabs my pants leg and it decides to rip it. My pants leg just rips open. And I'm going to tell you, let's just be very... Yes, that's the word, transparent. I said, devil, you are. And let me tell you something else, devil. The fact that my wife's jacket ripped and my pants ripped all in the same day, I know this was you. I want you to understand something. I'm coming for you. You don't rip my wife's jacket. You don't rip my pants and irritate me all day long without me getting it. You understand me? I am coming for you. You are, and I'm letting you know. And when I was done, I got in the truck and I said, Lord, I'm not sure if that was appropriate to speak to the devil that way. And if I was wrong, please correct me later. And I just repent just in case. I don't want any emails from you. I will let Pastor Tim Norland tell me if I was right or wrong at our next meeting. But the devil is a liar, pants on fire, and he is irritating, and I'm putting him on notice. He's not ripping my jeans and my wife's jacket and getting away with it. But I was so irritated when Jesse got in. I sent her a photo of my ripped pants. She's in Costco, and I sent her a photo of my ripped pants, and she goes, what happened? I said, we'll talk about it when you get in the car. And so finally she's like, we're done. Come pick us up. And so I pick them up and I tell her the story. And I tell her everything. And I just said, I am convinced we had lots of opportunities today to be irritated. And she jumped in and she said, but we're not going to take those opportunities. And I just want to be like, not kind of telling you the story right now how we're not going to take those opportunities. But I appreciate you jumping ahead of the story, telling me, which irritated me just a little bit because I was hangry. And we got home late. I didn't get in and study like I wanted to before I went to bed. And I just knew I would wake up in the morning and I'll do it then and focus on some things. But what does all that story have to do? The devil is a liar and he'll give you opportunities to get off track. He doesn't care about my pants, my wife's jackets, or whether I'm having a good day or not. What he cares about are you going to take the bait to get out of line? Are you going to build a golden image because you're in the desert? Are you going to revert back to old ways of doing things because you're under pressure? Are you going to get off course because you don't like the process? And as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And We are not ignorant of Satan's devices. We are not ignorant of what he will come against us with. We are not ignorant to the oppression, the chains, the weight. See, what is happening is there is heat on both sides. There is fire on both sides, on the enemy side and of God. On God's side, it will burn away the chaff. It'll burn away the impurities. And what comes out is pure gold. On the other side, what it's trying to do is forge the metal to bend the faith on the inside of you. Will you take more money out of your till because you know you can get away with it and you need that extra 20? Are you going to morally bankrupt yourself because of the pressure that is around you? Because what the enemy is trying to do is to get you to bow because of the heat that is around you. He is applying pressure to see if you will build a golden image. He is building up the pressure to see if you will look at the staff or turn away and die. He is building up the pressure to see if you will follow the ways of God or will you think it's okay to get off track. Because the problem with getting to the other side is not the promise, it's when will it happen. Most people give up in the middle of the lake when the storm comes up, when it's just on the other side. What the enemy wants us to do is get our focus off of Jesus and onto the storm that surrounds us. When we have our focus upon Jesus, all the water, all the wind, it can't sink us, it can't take us down. And as we walk, what should pull us under, what would drown multitudes around us, all of a sudden we could stand on. We have the wind versus the word. And what is more powerful is the one that you are focused on. What is more realistic in your life is what you are focusing on. Let's look at Numbers 13 and 30. It says, "And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, 'Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it.' But the men that went up with him said, 'We are not able to come up against the people, for they are stronger than we. They have brought up an evil report of the land which they have searched unto the children of Israel, saying, The land which we have gone and searched it is the land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in are men of great stature, and there we saw giants, the son of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight." Oh. There is a part of me that talks the way I do because of where I'm from. The accent comes from my local area. There's part of me, my habits, and what I do comes from where I am. Part of me also comes from my parents, my grandparents. There are certain sayings I have because of my surroundings. Got to tell you something else. There's also certain things in my surrounding because I'm from Madison, Wisconsin. Do you realize I've lived outside of the state of Florida longer than I have lived in the state of Florida? And I'm coming up to the point, it's not much further off, that I will have lived in Madison longer than I have anywhere else. I'm a Madisonian, Madisonite, whatever you want to call me. I am from here, y'all. I am a cheesehead. I owned one, but my niece wrote all over it and had to throw it away, and I was mad at her because it wasn't cheap. And my mom's like, "That's just precious." Like, it's precious because you didn't pay for it. But, and all of this, I'm from Madison. So there are certain things that I say that are from this area. Like, let me just give you an instance of some things. There are certain things I say because of my grandfather. I didn't know what a suck egg mule was. Google it. An egg sucking mule or suck egg mule is a mule. It's something that you can't believe. It's something that happens. You can't believe it. I'm a sucking egg mule, is one of the things they would use to say. And it's something, one, it has no purpose, it's no good, or you're just dumbfounded that it even happened. It's unreal. And that was one of the things we used to say. Or how about this one? You've heard me say this one a lot. I don't really say that one. It just doesn't roll off the tongue well. But this one, whatever floats your boat, but just make sure it doesn't sink your ship. That came from my father. I used to say that all the time. He said it all the time. And you understand what it means because I've explained it to you. But then there's certain things that I've said because I'm up here for like tree stands. Oh, cardboard makes good insulation. Why? That's a Wisconsin thing. I even wrote down some of the Wisconsin things because I wanted to make sure that I said them right. Oh, I love this one is when I've had this happen to me at a gas station where somebody said this to me, just started up a conversation. They're like, cold enough for you? It was negative 15 degrees. I'm like, yeah, don't you think? Like, oh, this Wisconsin weather, you know, it's just crazy up here. It gets real cold. I'm like, yeah, I know. Oh, you're not from around here, are you? I'm like, oh, I've been here for 18, 19 years now. I'm like, oh, you've been here a good long time, so you're used to all this. I'm like, oh, yeah, now, come on. Wisconsin, it's good. And I say, Wisconsin, right. I don't say it like I used to. I've changed it. Why? Because I'm a part of Wisconsin. It's where I've come from. I didn't know what a bubbler was until I moved here. Now, I know what a bubbler is. When someone tells me the bubbler is at this certain place, I know exactly what they're talking about. When I first got here and heard bubbler, I'm like, I have no idea what you're talking about. I have no idea. And so, you know, there are some things that I talk like because of where I'm from, my history, my culture, all these things play in to how I speak. But all these things should never dictate what I say. I should just say things because my grandparents always said it. There's some things I need to watch my mouth and not say. There's some things that I shouldn't talk about myself in a certain way. I shouldn't say the same things. I used to hate this statement. It always bothered me because we were raised around. Snakes were everywhere. And I always hated going picking blackberries. You want to know why? Because snakes hung out in the blackberry bushes. You want to know why? Because birds and hawks couldn't get in there because there were thorns. And they hung around the briar patch. They hung out in the blackberry bushes with full of thorns. And I hated picking blackberries in the places that we went because there were snakes. There were rattlesnakes. And I hated it. And my grandfather would tell me a story of a lady he found that she was picking blackberries and didn't see the rattlesnake, and it bit her and got stuck in the cartilage. And when they found her, the snake was still attached. And he would tell me that story to make me be careful. And I hated that story. I still hate that story, and I told you so. You'll hate that story with me for the rest of your life. But I hated picking blackberries because I was always concerned about snakes. They were a real problem. And my grandfather would say things that I hated and because of those blackberries. He would say sometimes that he was looking for something. And when he finally found it, it was so close to him. He said, if that was a snake, it'd have just jumped out and bit me. I hate that statement. I'd never say that statement because I'm here like, no snakes bite me. None. No snakes bite me. Snakes die when they're around me. They don't bite me. So I remember having the urge, like something I found, I'm like, oh, if that was a snake, it would have just ran away. If it was a snake, it would have ran away. Why? Because I am not speaking about things like that in my life. Words were more for creation than they were for communication. Words create an environment. Words will create atmosphere. You can be around someone that disagrees with you, but you can create an atmosphere of friendship. You can create an atmosphere of love that you don't have to fight with someone, and they don't have to feel like they have to fight with you to get their point across, because you are the creator. You are the creator of atmospheres. And the reason why, now look, I don't want to get in this, because there are gurus out there that tell you to speak what is right. But can I tell you something? When the storm comes up, If they're not saved, if they're not standing on the word of God, when the storm comes up, it'll all wash. They'll have the right principles, and it will work for them to a degree. But when the sand begins to move from underneath their feet, they will crumble and revert back to old ways. What changes it, what makes your power, your words, and causes you to be able to stand when others fall, is because your words, you're speaking like God is speaking. You find his word. You begin to quote the word. You begin to speak exactly what God is speaking. And God says, I watch over my words to make sure that they perform. So how are they going to get out there to even be performed? It's because we are vibrating. We are speaking. We are putting a sound out there that sounds like God. We are speaking what he speaks. We put on the whole armor of God. And when you put your helmet on, you know, I know that the medieval days, they didn't have that helmet that slid down. That was the medieval days. That was not the Roman days. But even the Romans had the helmet that came down to cover their nose, come around their cheekbones, come down and cover around their mouth. They had it where it would cover them. And only the high ups had complete armor. And then the other ones had it where it would come down over the nose and come down to the side and then leather strap underneath. But the point is when the mask was on, you couldn't see who was underneath it. And when you put on the whole armor of God and you begin to speak like God speaks, the enemy hears it and they're like, that's the same vibration. That's the same sound. I heard that 2,000 years ago before the cross. I heard that on the day of the resurrection. I heard that same sound. Is that Jesus under the mask? Is that the Son of God under the mask? And for all purposes and intents, it is absolutely the Son and Daughter of God underneath that mask. And when you speak the word, the enemy has no idea who it is. And when we bust down the gates of hell, the resistance is over and the enemy is running. Now, when you begin to say, I'm just as dumb, can't believe I keep making the same mistakes, the enemy says, that's not the sound. That's not the sound. That is a sound of a carnality. That is a sound of flesh. That does not line up with the word. And then they can have the ability to fight and stand and dig in. But when you speak the word, you are creating atmospheres for the power of God to move. You create, and let me just say this too. We're going to be talking about how to share today our fellowship and how to share our faith and how to start groups and things of this nature. And I remember somebody who would always, they wanted to share the faith. And every time they did it, they said, I got rejected. They didn't want to hear it. People just don't like me. I'm like, why would you ever say that out loud? Shut your mouth. I have the favor of God on the inside. People like me and they don't even know why. People who hate me like me. People that don't want to be around me. Someone, some reason likes me. Why? Because the favor of God is a magnet. It pulls them toward me. I begin to say what God says. I won't let one problem dictate the rest of the day. We'll let one incident dictate. And then this is what problem. We've already talked about this. Our mind is better than any computer ever made. All of a sudden, if we come to a conclusion that nobody likes us, we'll look for every reason. That guy in Costco cut me off. He doesn't like me. I don't know. Is it something that I... Is it me? Is it me? Be like, every time I share the word, people reject me. At work, they don't like me. And you're looking for reasons. See that person? They didn't even say hey to me when they entered the room. They usually say hey to me. What did I do? You create scenarios that are not even real. And you play them over and over in your mind. Begin to speak the word of God. Begin to talk what he says. Say what he says. Now, I want to read you another scripture. Now, you turn with me to John chapter 10. I'm going to read 1 Corinthians 6 and 19. It tells us that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost. And if he lives in us right now, then we have the right to talk like him. Do you know my daughters have a y'all on the inside of them? And my oldest one, she says, Daddy, Lucy, she's a city slicker like mama. But I, a country girl, I'm a country girl. Me and you, we're from the country. And I don't have the heart to tell her that we're from suburbia. But she's like, we're country, aren't we, Daddy? I'm like, yeah, baby, we're country. We like root beer and frosted glasses. We like hiking and camping out in the woods. We like hunting. We like all that stuff, baby. She's like, yeah, we do. But Lucy, she's a city slicker. Like, she is. She likes shiny things and foo-foo dresses. She has to have pizza delivered to the house. She, you know, it's not DiGiorno or whatever that's called. She can't have that. So, but me and you, we're from the country. And so if the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of us, we have the right to talk like Him. We have the right to act like Him. We have the right to be guided and directed by Him. It says that we are children of God, so we have the right to stand up and look like Him. My kids look like me. They talk like me. And then some of it they get from their mama, their proper stuff they get from her. All the stuff that is not proper out of English, not right, they get from me. I went to, they asked me because some boys made some noise with their hands and their arms, and they asked me to show them how, so I went to do it, and Jesse said, don't you show them how. I'm like, oh, I guess little girls shouldn't be doing that. Okay. And but they would have known. Two more seconds into it, they would have known. So everything that they have that is proper comes from their mother, and everything that they have that is not proper, you can blame me for. But they get it somewhere, and they get it honest. Let me tell you something. You get it somewhere, and you get it honest. Don't let the world bend and shape you. Don't be a bonsai tree for the world. Don't let them curve you and shape you the way that they react and the way that they function and what they call right. See, what was supposed to happen was we were supposed to forge them. They were supposed to come into the fire and bend to the will of God instead of the people of God going into the world and bending to their way. Prayer should have never been kicked out of school. Abortion should have never been legalized. There are certain things that should have never happened, but the church culture bent to the pressure that was around them. The day is gone that we bend and bow and the fire that is forged by society. Have you found John chapter 10 and verse 30? Find John chapter 10 and verse 30. We have every right to talk like God. When the doctors give us an evil report, we should talk like God. When our children are acting up, we should talk like God. When mountains are standing in our way, we should talk like God. When our bodies are responding and screaming at us, we should talk like God. When we are hangry, we should talk like God. When the world comes against us, we should talk like God. When our friends need advice, we should talk like God. We should show love, and if we have to bring correction, it should be like God brings it. John 10 and verse 30. I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up a stone against him. What were they going to do? They were going to stone him. They were about to stone Jesus. And Jesus answered and said, many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of these works do you stone me? Verse 33, and the Jews answered him and saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because that thou being a man maketh thyself God. And Jesus answered and said, is it not written in your law, I say that ye are gods? Now notice it's a little g. But are ye gods? And if he called them gods, if God called you gods, unto whom the word of God came, and the scriptures cannot be broken. Now what scripture is Jesus referring to the Jews here? He's referring to Psalms 82 and verse 6. And it says, I have said ye are God's, little g, and all of you are my children of the Most High. God called his people, I'm the big G, you're my little g. You talk like me, you act like me, you use your words like I use my words. I create miracles with my words. You create miracles with your words. You create atmospheres. You change people's lives just because you show up with the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. You're my little G, and you are my children. God said that from the beginning. And the Jews put down the stones. Why? Because they knew what he said was true. But see, this is in the church day, our church world still today. You begin to talk like God talks, and they will yell blasphemy. They will yell, you are trying to make yourself God. My answer would be, I can't make myself something that he already made me. He's my big G, I'm his little G. I talk like him, I act like him. I actually, when I come to situations, my goal is to respond like him. And guess what? If I miss it, I will repent and do it again. I will keep going till I get this right. Let's look at somebody who thought it was all right to talk like God. I got to be quick here. We got to end very quickly here. First Samuel 17, write that down, verse 43. And then we're going to go to John chapter 12, and then Daniel chapter 3. And we're done. And then we're done. First Samuel 17 and verse 44. This is where David goes up against Goliath. And it says, and the Philistine said to David, this was the world speaking to the church. And it says, come at me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowl of the air and to the beast of the field. Can I tell you something right now? Politicians are saying to the church, come at me. Any church that disagrees with us, we should take their 501c3 away from them. They shouldn't have that right. That's being said right now by political parties. They're saying if the church does not agree with the mainstream and what we say is right, then let's take their 501c away from them. My statement is, take it and watch God be God. We will not call good evil and evil good. It does not matter, Mr. So-and-so or Mrs. So-and-so. You do what you want, but the church will still be the church and God will still be God. I will still use our 501c3 as long as they let us. But if we have to make a choice, we will not bow. And so this statement is still being said to the church. Come at me, and I will give your flesh. See, this is what politicians have a problem with the church. For years, they just keep believing we're one decade away from the church dying. They keep saying it. They keep holding the Bible and saying this book will be, you know, gone. In 10 years, 15 years, the church will not be relevant. And they're still saying it. There's still news articles about the church dying. You want to know what churches are dying? Those who step off of the word. Those who bow and conform to the world. They will continue to die. But those who stand on the solid rock, which is Jesus, if they do not give up in the storm, they continue to look upon their Savior. They continue to reverberate the words that come out of the mouth of God. They will see victory. When the culture comes against the church, it has never worked. The church continues to grow. If it didn't, China would have no church. Indonesia would have no church. Iran would have no church. And these are some of the largest places of revival in the world. So let the politicians speak. But let me say this. I'm not willing to let them go to the wayside and die. The church will continue to pray for Democrats, Republicans, nonpartisan, Green. We will continue to lift them up. We won't add to the problem. We'll add to the solution. We will continue to bring their name to Jesus, from President Trump to Governor Evers to our state representatives. We pray for them. I got to meet Tammy Baldwin, bumped into her in D.C. one time. And I said, Tammy, And she turned around and looked and said, "Oh, excuse me, I'm so sorry. Represent." She wasn't senator at the time. "So, Representative Baldwin," I said, "I need you to know something." I said, "I'm a Christian," and I shook our hands. And I mean, there was a moment of almost releasing my hand at the moment. I said, "We love you so much." And she goes, "Oh, well, thank you." I said, "We pray for you all the time." She goes, "Thank you." I said, "We're believing that you will hear from God." "Okay." I said, "We are believing that you will do his will, that you will stand in his place. We're praying for the blessing of God to come upon you." "Well, thank you so much. I must go now. It was good to meet you." "Like, thank you. It was a pleasure to meet you." I refuse to let anyone go. I'm not letting our politicians go. I'm not letting our president go. I'm not letting my governor go. I'm not letting my congressperson go. I'm not letting my representatives go. I am lifting their name to Jesus. Well, let's take it to the church. I'm not letting our church body go. I'm not letting our leadership go. Whether they have a bad day, good day, we're praying for them. We're praying for those that are above us so that we may have peace in our house. I don't want to have to be the underground church. I don't want to have to hide. I don't want to have to tell my children, like in Iran, I don't want to have to kiss them and say, "I may not come home today because when I share Jesus, I might die today." I don't want that to have to come out of my mouth. I'm not letting them turn over. I'm going to hold them up. I'm going to lift them up. I'm not going to let them turn into the Philistines. I'm not letting my government turn into Iran. I'm not letting my government turn into the Communist Party of China. I'm not letting that happen. We will stand in the gap and we will speak of them and speak to them and prophesy to them as Jesus speaks and what Jesus sees of them. But David said to Goliath, he says, "But I come at thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, for the God of the armies of Israel, who thou hast defied." See, the problem is David didn't take it personal. He didn't say, "I'm coming against you because you have defiled me and you have defiled my people." He said, "I am coming at you because you have defiled the people. You have defiled the God that we serve. There is a God in Israel." And David even got a little, you know, for lack of better terms, I have girls, so we use certain terms, sassy. So we use sassy a lot. We got a little sassy with him and said, "We'll cut your head off and we'll put it out there, and the fowl of the air will eat your bodies and all of the Philistines that come against us as well." Now, what I'm saying is you shouldn't go to work and your boss tick you off and you say, "You know what I'll do? I'll take your head off and let the birds eat your body." That's probably not what you should say like David, but there are times that God will put boldness on the inside of you to speak as he would speak, but it is in love. If it's not, it can't be spoken because God is love. And so if you can't speak it with the mind of God and the peace of God, then you don't speak it like that. But there are words that are delivered in love that are not easy to hear. They're not easy to hear. But we follow God. And we are not people that are rude, crude, and socially unacceptable. Now, I'm going to read these scriptures. Y'all go to Daniel. I probably told y'all to somewhere else, but Daniel 3. I want to read this, John chapter 12 and verse 49. "For I have not spoken of myself, but of the Father which has sent me. He gave me a commandment and what I should say and what I should speak. And after I know that his commandment is life everlasting, whatsoever I speak thereof of the Father said unto me, so I speak." Psalms 116 and 10 says, "I believe, therefore I have spoken." 2 Corinthians 4 and 13 says, "We having the same spirit of faith, according to it is written, I believe and therefore I have spoken. We also believe and therefore we speak." Jeremiah 1 and 12 says, "For I hasten my word to perform it." That's God speaking. And the Amplified says, "I am actively watching over my word to fulfill it." Have you found Daniel chapter 13? I want to talk about Nebuchadnezzar for a moment. And I want to correct something that I used to think of a lot in this. I want to bring some correction, and most of you probably already have this down, but this was the teaching. I told y'all that Pastor Tim Jorgensen taught this. Me and him were talking, and he brought this point out, and it was so powerful. It was like the bursting of 1,000 suns on the inside of me, and I loved it. But I have to read 14 through 15 for you to get 17 through 18. Well, let's read 17 and 18 first, then we'll go back and show you what I'm talking about. All right, 17 says, if it be so, this is Nebuchadnezzar built a golden image of himself and said, bow down and worship it. We know Meshach, Shadrach, and one Bad Abednego, whatever his name is, said, we will not bow. We will not bow. And so this is the continuation of 17. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. But if not, the way I was taught was, God will deliver us. But if he doesn't, know, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship thy golden image, which thou hast set up. And this used to confuse me, because they said, we will be delivered. But if not, and the way it was taught to me, but even if he doesn't deliver us, we're still not going to bow. Well, duh. If he doesn't deliver you, you're dead. There's no worshiping anything. You're burned. You're crispy critters. You're gone. So why bring that up? Why say it that way? And then for people who understand English, I am not one of them. I don't have all the rules. We don't really understand this until we really apply verse 14 through 15. Now, we have to notice the ifs, because they said if. They're actually repeating. They're repeating something the king said to them. So let's look at Daniel 3 and 13. That's pie. 314. Pie. Let's have some pie. Just for this one scripture. Nebuchadnezzar spoke and said unto them, it is true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Do ye not know, or do ye not serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now, notice this, verse 15. Now, if ye be ready, that what time you hear the sound of all these instruments, all this kind of music, you fall down and worship the image which I have made well. But, now notice, here's the second one. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? He's asking two questions. If you hear it and you bow, you're saved. But if you hear it and you bow not, who is the God that will deliver you out of my hands? Now, them understanding language and how all this works, they answered, if it be so, our God, who we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand. They're not saying he may. He says, if. What is the if? If you throw us in the furnace, he will deliver us. Not maybe. He will deliver us out of your hands. Now, verse 18. But if not, what is this in reference to? But if you don't throw us into the furnace. This has nothing to do with God delivering them. This has everything to do with if you throw us in, God will deliver us out of your hands. And if you don't throw us in, we still will not bow. They never had the point of, if God doesn't deliver us, we'll just die. And we won't serve your God in that fire. We won't do it. That had nothing to do with it. They're answering the king. They're standing boldly before the king. If you throw us in, God will. Not maybe. Have you ever not been confused by that? Not been. Is that a double negative? I don't know. See, I don't know the rules. But this is the deal. It never, the way we preach it, it was never said. They were confident that God would deliver them. The answer is, if you throw us in, God will deliver us. That one you're wondering, the God, who is that? I'm about to show you, Bubba. The Southern version translation would be like, I'll show you, Bubba. And then if you don't throw us in, don't think you can pressure us to bow. We serve the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac. We serve the God that created heaven and earth. We will not bow. We will not burn. But then, do you know what? What temperature is a match? Does anybody know? I looked online. Somebody said 1,000 degrees. Somebody said 2,000 degrees. Do you know what? That's hot enough to burn skin. But what happened to Nebuchadnezzar? He said, I'm going to turn it up 7 times. And then he tied their hands. That's all theatrical. That had nothing to do what any hotter. It was already enough to incinerate them. What is all this? This is theatrics. You will bend. The world will turn up to heat, even though you believe in a God that delivers. The world will tie your hands. Why? Because you're still not bowing. You're still not doing things like they do. You stand when all things crumble around you. You're speaking the word of God. You're speaking the truth of God. You're speaking over your home. And the world is trying to turn up the flames to cause you to bend. When you're having relationship trouble, they'll tell you how you need to do. There are magazines that tell you whether you should stick with them or get out, or and all this kind of junk on in men's magazines, women magazines, whether to leave him, how to light his world, how to live this way, how to live that way. How about how to live in communion in the Word of God? And not trying to form things outside of biblical definitions, or trying to live what God created outside of his way of doing things. How about that? How about we not bend to the way the world does things? That we're not, they'll hang carrots. They'll apply all kinds of pressure. But we, when we hear the music, we will not bow. We will not change. We will continue to stand up for what is right. They can threaten the church like Goliath. They can say, come at us. We will destroy you. And we can stand on the word of God and say, who shall separate us from the love of God? Even Jesus said, there are some that don't go to church. They stopped going, assembling themselves together, as some people's habit are. There's some people who make a habit of not coming to church. There are some people that make it a habit of not fellowshipping together. There's some people that look for any excuse. Is the wind blowing? Is the clouds forming? And if you watch the wind, if you pay attention to the clouds, you will not sow and you will not reap. We are in a time of obedience and we will reach Canaan. Not only will we get to the border, we're going to get in. We're going to continue to fight for it, and we will not let it go. And one of the trick of the enemy is once we get into Canaan and the first war that comes, where are you, God? I thought you said this was ours. I thought you said it was going to be easy. He told the children of God when they got into Canaan, you're going to have to fight with the king. What did they do? They traded slavery, someone beating their backs and barking commands, to having to fight for their right to stand. They had to get Egypt out of them, and they got another problem, but it came with a bigger blessing. So don't get confused. What? Everything's supposed to be easy. No. The world is doing everything to get you to bend. The defeated one is doing everything to get you to talk like the world. They want to know, is Jesus under that helmet? Or is Tim under that helmet? Who is living under there? In this place right now, this is what I want you to do. I want you to ask God, in this message, what are you saying to me? What part of this message was for me, God? What are you telling me? I believe many of you already have answers. Some of you, God is going to continue to speak to you all week long. And you'll begin to notice them in the little. And when you notice them in the little, you'll begin to notice him a lot. He's everywhere. He's directing you constantly, bringing thoughts, suggestions, and ideas straight through from this throne room of heaven. And you will stand. You will not bend or bow, but you will take land. You will advance, and you will do the work that God